We've been thinking about this morning, and I trust as the meeting's gone on that it's his love that has captivated, that has melted. You know, so often we can be so taken up with telling God that we love him that sometimes we forget how much God loves us. And we can only worship and tell God that we love him, providing that we've opened our hearts to allow his love to come into our hearts. The Bible tells us that his love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You know, I have to be careful because I noticed two sisters were at the meeting where I was last night. But you know, I was a little sad because there was no word given. And I'd gone there to be inspired for this morning. And all they'd done was sung. Now, I love singing, and I love singing choruses. But you know, sometimes I think that we tend to sing choruses too much sometimes. And a lot of the time, it is our feeling towards God. But you know, it does us good to realise how much God loves us. Because my love is up and down. It's, you know, one minute it's on the mountain top, or me love ain't, but that's how I feel. And the next minute, you know, but God's love is steadfast. It's continuous. Saved from the guttermost to the utmost, some people say. But you know, it's his love. And it's that this morning I feel that God would have us to dwell on. That he loves you. That he loves me as a person. Praise his wonderful name. I better read the text, otherwise I'll... You know. The word of God is so important. It's more important what I've got to say. Because if I just read the word of God and then sit down. Praise his wonderful name, and that's so important. If we read the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. That's what I like to hear, pages in the Bible, because it means to tell me that you're finding it. Anyway, the first epistle to Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bethany. I'll tell you now, I was going to miss that first verse out, because I'm a shocker at pronunciations. When people know me, I usually cough when I come to them bits. But I thought, well, I'd have a go, but never mind. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Isn't that wonderful? For you and for me. Reserved in heaven for you. Praise his wonderful name. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be. You are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honour and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, there used to be a chorus, wasn't there, with those words in it, full of joy and full of glory, and the harp has never yet been told. The chorus has gone for me. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets, having inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that has preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, redeemed. You know, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord. Praise his wonderful name. Who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfringed love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and the glory is man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. And in chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Praise his wonderful name. I'm sure the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. In verse 9 of chapter 2, you are chosen. You know, I was thinking about this week, and isn't that wonderful to know that we've been chosen? That you and I, we didn't choose God, but God, in his love for us, came and sought us where we were. You know, I expect sometimes this year there'll be probably, so they tell me, an election. Now when they, whoever the powers that be, will pick their men to form the government, they will pick, in their estimation, the best men they can. But you know, Jesus chose us, not according to our good or how we were, but because he loved us. You know, when I was thinking of this, it's wonderful to know that God chose us and that he chose me. When I was first converted, you know, the Lord, some of you may have heard my testimony, but when the Lord spoke to me, he called me Peter. Now man, that's wonderful, isn't it? That the God's love for you and I is so intimate that he knows your first name. Now we often say that he knows how many hairs you've got in your head, But praise God, he knows how many I'm missing, as well as how many I've got. But you know his love. And it's that, really, that I want us to think about. That, you know, his love, more than our love. See, it's a two-way. It's a two-way affair. You know, not going back to last night so much. But you see, I just felt that, you know, it could have been the way I was feeling. But they were so taken up with their worship that there, to me, it didn't seem that they wanted to listen to let God say, "Oh, I love you." You know, because in this day and age, it's good to be loved. We all need to be loved by somebody. We all need to feel the warmth and the fellowship of love, all of us. The world, you know, everything's too big now, isn't it? Everything. You know, God knows me as Peter. Praise his name. You know, the income tax or the national health know me as a number. But my name's recorded in heaven. Peter. You know, I could understand if it was white, but it's even better than that. It's Peter. He knows me by my first name. So you're chosen. Praise his lovely name. And I'm sure if we could only get that thought into us. See, my love is up and down. But if we could only realise that we are a chosen people. A royal priesthood. We've been chosen. Set apart. You know, if we could only get that love deep inside our hearts. That God loves us so much. You know, I'm sure it would be so easy to testify. You know, he would. You know, I was talking to somebody in Pitsea Market. A bit of advertising. And my son's got a stall in the market. And I stand on it Saturday afternoons while he plays football. And I find it a great opportunity to speak to people. Well, I don't shout out. I just talk one-on-one, like, if they're listening. And I was talking to a fellow there. And he is a Christian. And I was talking at one time on Cambridge. I couldn't go shopping with the wife. I couldn't go. Because I used to stand out the shop while she went in. And as I looked at the people on the island, I couldn't stop crying. Now, that's not me. That's not me. You see, that's the love of God in me. You see, now by me, thinking how much God loves me as an individual, created this compassion for other people. Now the Bible tells us that Jesus, when he looked at the multitude, he was moved with compassion. You know. So instead of thinking how much I love him as an individual, as I've already said, it's better, I believe, to realise how much he loves me or you. See, out of that, by realising how much he loves me, out of that, my tears... Like, my eyes just filled with tears. Now, I'm going back a little while. I don't so much now. I mean, it came over me the other Saturday when I was with the wife. Don't often go shopping with her now. But at one time, I couldn't go. I had to stop going. Because the tears just flooded down and people were looking at me as if I've gone... No, I just couldn't help it. The tears just continually flowed while I was standing outside. I think it was Woolworths where I was standing outside. At that time. But the tears. Realising how much God loves me. You know. And what was I like? You know, and I'll read this. The Word of God is very important. In Corinthians. This is wonderful, this is. In Corinthians. It says in chapter 1, verse 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, and not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised has God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But you see, you're calling, brethren, not many mighty, not many great. You know, I remember just after I was first saved, getting on a train coming from Upton Park to Barking. My brother Jules used to live at Barking in them days, and I was staying with him. I'd been to a meeting in East End, and only got on the underground at Upton Park, I should say, and there was a fellow that I used to know, before I got converted, I must emphasise that, because there are people that I know that they can worship the Lord and they can have a good time, and yet they tell me that they see no wrong in going down to the local and having a pint. Well, that causes a little confusion in my heart. But, you know, before I was saved, and I was on this train this night after I'd got converted, but this fella that I used to know, when I used to go to the pub with him, he didn't know I'd got saved. And between Upton Park and East Ham, it's only one stop on the underground, it don't take very long, but when I got on the train, he was on there, and he was, obviously he'd been up London celebrating, and by the time he got out of East Ham, the shock of me being saved, the shock of me loving the Lord, was so much for him, that he was sober. Now, can you see? Now, God, if I'd have waited until I'd got better, I'd have never got converted. If I'd have waited until I was right in the sight of God, I'd have never got saved. You know, because you know, some of you, what I was like. I mean, it wasn't very long before that time I met this fellow on the train that he knew that I used to break in houses and, you know, I used to snatch handbags from ladies. You're right, your handbags are quite safe now. But I used to do those things. You see, now, as I said, if I'd have waited until, or God had waited, I'd have never got saved. You see how much he loves you, and how much he loves me. You know, I remember years ago, there used to be a platform there, and there used to be a little cubbyhole there, and a little cubbyhole there. Well, every Sunday afternoon, I used to be stuck in that little cubbyhole there, with about four or five boys in the Sunday school. And one Sunday afternoon, the lesson, it was part of the lesson, and I said to him, you know, God loves you. But I said, he even loves you when you're naughty. And they said, well, he doesn't. I said, he loves you all the time, with an everlasting love. Now, he don't want you to be naughty, but he loves you all the time. And it took quite a bit of me trying to explain to them that even when I was, you know, not on their best behaviour, God still loved them. He loved them with an everlasting love. And they couldn't at first see this. That they thought that God only loved them when they was good. And if we felt like that, that God only loves us, well, I know that if God only loved me when I'm good, I'm afraid that his love would be like mine is to him, up and down. But I praise God that he found me in my sin. He found me as I was. And praise his wonderful name. That like that in Peter, I can say by the grace of God, that God has called me. God has saved me. God has chosen me. Not for what I was, but because he loved me. You know, and this morning, I feel that more than anything, because of the way that the meeting had gone, that like that chorus that we sang, that it's his love that should have melted our hearts. It's his love that we should be as he wants us to be. You know, coming back to that fellow on that train, he said to me, he said, Peter, he said, you're lucky, you know. I said, why is that? Well, because I told him that I had two brothers that had been praying for me. And he said, you're lucky, he said. You have had two brothers praying for you. Now, he said he had no one. But I did tell him he did have somebody. Because I believe that Jesus is a high priest. And I believe that the Lord makes intercession for those that we may forget to pray for, those that we see no love for. Jesus has told us that we should love the unlovable ones. So easy to love those that love us, you know. So easy to love those that are good to us and kind to us. But you know, it's not so easy to love those that knock us about a little bit. You know, and I find that it's easy to love those in the world that knock us. But it can be very hard sometimes when those that are within the church knock us. We find that a little bit harder at times. We shouldn't do, but we do find it hard. Because we tend to think there should be much more from them. But you know, they hurt us. And if they hurt us, I wonder how many times we hurt them. You know, because it works both ways. If they hurt us, it's possible that we hurt them. But you know, as I said, that coming back to that in Peter, that you've been called, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a redeemed people, a redeemed people. We don't use that word so often much these days. But I can remember when I first got saved, and I was out of work at the time, and my mother was dependent upon me, and she'd gone away on holiday with George, and I was a bit of a shocker, as I'd already said. And she was coming back expecting me to be at work and expecting me to be able to give her some money. And I didn't have anything. But you know, the marvellous thing is, on the Sunday when I came home, the Lord gloriously saved me. And on the Monday, what did I do? I went out and found a job, but I didn't start until the Tuesday. So what did I do? I took my only pride and joy, my suit with shop silk, is it, that changes colour and... And it was, I thought I paid quite a lot of money for that. And I'd have taken it, and when I do, I'd have pawned it. Now, I'd have go back, and if you like, I'd have redeemed it back again. And I'd have paid whatever I'd left on it. You see, you've been redeemed. You've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. So important, isn't it, to realise that we are a peculiar people that should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness. You see, the praise follows after that, doesn't it? The praise don't come first. The praise comes after realising that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should bring to the praise and the glory of him. Oh, I trust this morning, the youngest to the oldest, that we might learn, or that we might allow God's love to take hold of us, and not be concerned so much. Our love to him, it is important, definitely. It is important, because it's a two-way. But you know, realising how much God loves us, how much he loves us, that he gave to us his only begotten Son, that you and I should be a chosen generation. Praise his wonderful name, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day about sanctification. And I looked it up, and do you know, it's the will of God, it's God's will, that you and I should be sanctified. It's God's will. Years ago, I used to think it when you got old. You know, you got old and you grew in grace. I did, actually. But you know, just shows my ignorance, doesn't it? But you know, it tells us in the Word of God that it's God's will, that's his will. And we often hear people asking what the will of God is. And that's the will of God. It's for your and my sanctification. That we might be unto him a praise. That he might rejoice in us. Not the other way so much. We rejoice in him, definitely. It's a two-way thing. You know, coming back If I could have a close in him, may I have a close in him? Oh, I have a privilege. Last week I picked one and I didn't, or the week ago I didn't get one. And may I have a close in him? And it's that one that I do love. He is all I need. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea, he alone is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, he is all I need. Praise God.
Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea, he is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, he is all.
Savior will I.